You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today I am with Nate Tuatagaloa from Tip Top Athletes. See, and I think I pronounced that right. So,
yes, you did.
Nice. All right. So Nate, give us a little bit of your backstory. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got to the point where you are today with Tip Top Athlete.
So I was a pretty decent high school athlete. I started late. I didn't play until I was about 15, 16. Good enough to get a scholarship to play on to college. Got to college, got hurt, went to rehab, took too long, came back. My position was taken, got hurt again, and I decided to rehab myself. And when I rehabbed myself, I cut my rehab time in half, and I was back in time for spring to fight for my position and got it back. And that's how I got into the whole thing I'm doing. And after that, I got pretty good at rugby, then started coaching there. And then before you know it, I was coaching local kids around here. And one of them thought I was pretty good enough to where they offered me a job at Division I school here in Utah County. And then while I was there, similar to what you're talking about, Pat, is as my program, my 3 year there as a strength and conditioning coach, I decreased all their injuries, increased performance. I mean, not to mention all the accolades each team got because we're in a WAC conference. But after my 3 years there, literally they cut my budget and they gave me like a $75 a month raise for my, thank you very much for what you did. So I decided to move back to Ogden, open up my own sports performance facility, and that's where I'm here right now.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your sports performance facility as it stands now. Like, how many athletes do you have? How big is it? All that fun stuff.
Sure. So we, as of right now, during our busier times, we usually have, four different categories. We got a fundamental movement group for about our 7 to 11 to 12 year olds. And then we have our older kids, which is 12 to 13 all the way to high school. And then we have our college and older kids. And then we also have our adult ones. But our main focus is those three that I mentioned first. And between all three of them, we'll have about, our busiest times would be our young age group would have about 50 to 60. And then our older group would have about 45 to 55.
Okay. So how do you feel like the business is going today?
I guess it's one of those, in hindsight, it could always be better, but business is headed in a direction, a good direction. Like, for instance, I'm to a point where we came here, we're like, all right, let's just take a gamble and let's open it up. Now, in January of next year, we will be expanding to a bigger facility, a better place where I can actually do my own build outs. I can actually have AC or a fan to circulate air. Cause as of right now, thinking about it is not really conducive, but yet I'm still having all this. So I can't complain on that part. At least I know the coaching part is working. Business now, if somebody was to come look at my stuff inside out, they'd probably pull their hair out and say, how am I even managing?
Yeah, I think we've all been there. So, all right, well, obviously the Ideal Business Show is about coaching and we are going to work together to move your business forward over the next little bit here. So how can I help? What's the first question or first thing that you feel like you need some help with?
Well, first thing is, as I sat here and I was reading all these things, it's funny because you're sports performance entrepreneur, but yet these words are more entrepreneur than they are sports performance. So those are the, like, I'm confused when it comes to things that you talk about, like, say, funnel. I'm like, funnel, what is that? Or lead magnets, all those things. Like, I guess if you can help me clarify how I can understand that so I can get a better system in.
So I think that can be a stumbling block for a lot of people, right? They get caught up in the language of marketing, or they get caught up in terminology that industries have made popular, like the word funnel or the word lead magnet, or the word that probably I think causes more fear and frustration than anything else seems to be systems.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to think about it this way, right? Like a funnel is just kind of the journey of a relationship from the first time you meet somebody to the point where they become a client or an athlete that is under your care, somebody that is paying you to come in and work with you. That is all a funnel is just kind of a choreographed journey. So when we think about that, and when I say choreographed, I just mean like this is the way that you're going to kind of take control of this process so you can help kind of steer the way that it happens. So the way that any relationship works is two people meet one another. That initial point of contact in the purposes of like what we're doing, the funnel you're talking about, it's as simple as you're going to try to make a good first impression with the person you're trying to connect with. You're going to give them, you know, what many people call a lead magnet, but is essentially a gift in exchange, or something of value in exchange for their attention right now and their permission to have their attention in an ongoing way. So if we think of this, like, it has to be something that would be valuable to them today. And you give them something good, and they say, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to this guy moving forward because maybe he can help me. Maybe he has something valuable to share with me. And then we just follow up until it makes sense for them to come in and work with you. Maybe it's one time at a clinic or for a short term at a camp or in an ongoing way as a client. But that's really all a funnel is. Does that make sense?
That makes way more sense. Yeah, because when I heard the word funnel and I tried to search it myself, I was shown even more words that got me more confused.
So if we're thinking about this kind of choreographed journey for this relationship, where do you originally connect with, you know, some of the athletes that you end up having on board as a client?
So a lot of them I'll get through, like I'll start with say five people, and out of those five people, two of those kids will shock parents like, whoa, man, how did you get so much better this year? And then they say,
let's back up for a second. Like, where did you connect with those kids in the first place?
From my previous time being here. So.
But there was a point where you actually met them. How did they find out about you? How did you find out about them? Where was that first time that you connected with somebody online or shook hands with them in person? Where was that point? Give me just one example.
Oh, okay. So like one example is I was helping out a friend of mine coach's kids team, and I met some people there and they liked my coaching style and they asked if I did anything like that. And I said, actually, I do. And that's how I met them, and it kind of grew from there.
So in that case, it could be like marketing could be as simple as saying, okay, let's replicate this process. How can I go help out some other places, maybe teach a dynamic warm-up to people, maybe go in and kind of do a short-term kind of mini speed clinic where I go in and teach them about, change of direction, or maybe I teach them about deceleration, but I teach them one quick thing. And then, so I'm making a good first impression, and then I'm getting the ability to follow up with them, because I say, hey, if you are interested in coming in and me doing a performance assessment on you, give me your name and email and phone number, and I'll follow up and invite you in, and we'll do A, B, and C through this performance assessment. So it doesn't have to be this online, you know, landing page that leads to an upsell, that leads to something else. It could be you going and doing a clinic for somebody and getting people's contact information and then following up with them. And that's the goal. You're following up with them until they come in. And notice I say you're following up with them instead of just saying, hey, here's my business card, you follow up with me, because it's your business. You want to be in control of the, you know, that ongoing relationship where you're facilitating the continuation and growth of, you know, that relationship to the point where you guys are working together.
Okay. I see what you mean. I took funneling as a almost like a literal term to funnel people into my like website or anything like that. But what you're saying is a funneling can also be like an FEO.
Yeah. I mean, all of this stuff, don't get caught up in the terminology. The terminology is irrelevant, right? Like the terminology is just a way for people to speak the same language on it. All this is, I mean, marketing is making an initial connection with somebody who might be interested in what you have to offer, and then following up with that person until they're ready to come in and experience what you do in some way, be it an FEO, like, hey, train with us for 30 days or come to my 6-week speed camp or something like that, or as an ongoing client.
Oh, okay, I got you. That makes way more sense to me.
Good.
So because the way you explained it now right there, that's like, well, duh, that's easy. But the way I was taking it was like, okay, I got to dive into this more. What is it? What do I got to do to funnel, quote unquote, funnel them? But the way you said it is, I'm already doing that right now.
Yeah. So this is just an organized way for you to think about how you're doing it, so you can look for opportunities to do it a little bit better, right? I mean, all of us do this stuff now. We just want to figure out, hey, how do we repeat this consistently? How do we do it a little bit better than we're currently doing it? You couldn't have a business if you weren't doing this in some way right now. And that kind of leads me to the second point, based on what you talked about, is a system. You're already doing the stuff, right? Everybody already has systems in their business. They just haven't documented them. I mean, you have a training system. You have a way that you deliver results to your athletes. And if you want somebody else to deliver similar results, then you need to document how you're doing it so they can replicate what you're doing. Like you don't need this 500-page operations manual. You need somebody to pull out a smartphone and video you doing what you do so somebody else can watch it and learn what you do so they can do it.
Right. That makes so much more sense.
Good, good. So, all right. So what's next? What else can I help you with? What's the next question you have, or how can we dig into any of that stuff if you feel like you need a little more clarity?
No, so that's definitely – that clarifies a lot of things. So now that we're getting into that marketing, doing the system, so I totally understand what you mean now by setting my systems up, is my biggest thing I have here. And I know you mentioned it earlier, but if you can kind of dig into it more with me actually personally, is my months. So you know how we have ebbs and flows, but then I would literally have a quarter where it's literally just dive nose deep. Do I kind of go and recruit something else that's not within my wheelhouse to increase it? Or do I just focus on other things? Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. And that's certainly a more acute problem in the sports performance landscape than it is in the adult fitness landscape. But all businesses have seasonality. I mean, the fitness industry, we tend to probably maybe beat ourselves up over it a little bit more because we are so dependent on recurring revenue, whereas restaurants or retail businesses that are dependent on one-time transactions, they just kind of recognize the natural ebb and flow of things, and they try to do the best they can in the slow times, but really they probably make more of an effort to maximize the peak times. I mean, if you want to think about it, in a restaurant, they're certainly, you know, lunch and dinner are certainly peak times, and mid-afternoon, they're not expending most of their resources trying to get people to come in at 3:30 in the afternoon to eat. Retail businesses try to capitalize on, you know, Black Friday through Christmas, and they pour a lot of their resources into that to make the most of that time. So seasonality or kind of ups and downs in revenue, it's not unique to us, but within the fitness industry, it's certainly heightened within the athlete market because the seasonality of sports. I mean, each sport has a preseason, an in-season, a postseason. And, you know, you couple that with the fact that kids have school in addition to that. And so not only is there school, but then there's homework associated with it. And so they've got this kind of up and down schedule that they're not necessarily in control of. With the younger athletes, they're not the source of transportation. So there's some other considerations there. So you can try to solve this problem in two different ways. The first way to solve it is trying to make the most of your peak seasons and understanding that those seasons are going to be opportunities for you to maybe put away some additional profit that is just part of your overall yearly profit, your overall yearly income, and not thinking that every month needs to be the same. So just really doing the best you can in those times of year, I think is a big deal. And then also kind of not overspending because you're assuming that, oh, the next point where it's typically slow, I'll be able to pull that up. You know, I see a lot of people, they have one great month and they think that's their kind of new standard. And so they're quick to spend whatever they make. But then the second consideration would be to think about, okay, how can I keep the athletes who are in here 3 days a week during the off season, how can I get them in here one day a week in season? And maybe that's just kind of recovery regeneration stuff. Maybe that's just trying to maintain their strength so they're kind of at a peak at the end of the season when the games typically are the most important versus, you know, they're peaking at the beginning of the season, but then they're beat down and worn out at the end of the year. So when somebody comes in and trains, part of your job should be to sell them on training 12 months a year. And maybe that means a really reduced amount of volume in season, but if they're in during the, you know, if they're coming in and training with you in season, maybe you're only able to charge them a third as much as you might have been charging them otherwise, but it's still some stability and you don't have to go win them back as clients later. They never stop being clients. So that's the first part of it. Convincing athletes that training is a 12-month-a-year thing. And there's so much both obvious research and, you know, information out there that you can kind of latch on to that can help steer that. But, you know, you can pull up any athlete. I mean, there are features on ESPN in The Athletic, different places, in just mainstream media about the role that in-season training plays in athletes' performance and how they're approaching it so differently than they might have 5, 10, 15 years ago. The second thing is considering going out and finding ancillary revenue streams that may not be your primary audience, but they give you a little more stability when your primary audience is in season. So let's say that typically you work with football players, and football being primarily a fall sport, well, can you go out and find baseball or softball as a spring sport and train some of those athletes so their schedule kind of runs opposite to the football athletes? And even if that's not going to be your highest priority in getting those athletes, if you can get enough of them in there to maybe offset some of that dip, then your month-to-month revenue really kind of stabilizes.
That's great. I appreciate it. No, that's I love it. I have one more question for you, Pat. And this is just going because it's my new going into my next facility, and I'm a little nervous about it. What's the best way to deal with increasing membership fees? Because we got to obviously overhead is going to increase in this, but what's the best way to go about it?
I mean, the best way to go about it is to just say we're increasing the fees, but here's why. Like, you've got the best possible reason why. It's not just, hey, we were undercharging you or our expenses went up. Like, hey, you know what? As part of us moving into this new facility, we're investing in new equipment. We're doing some new things to provide you even better results. Now, as part of this change, we're going to be amending our monthly membership fees or our training fees by X number of dollars a month. And, you know, typically you can kind of distill that down so they understand what that means on a per session basis. So, you know, if somebody's training 3 times a week in a month, but their membership dues are going up $30. $30 may seem like a big bump, but if we're dividing that over 12 sessions a month, then, you know, I mean, $30 is just a couple bucks, right? Like, so, hey, our per session fee is really only increasing $2 and X number of cents, right? Now, I will tell you, in VFM, we have example raise your rates letters that you can just grab. And I know you already have access to all that material. You probably haven't looked at it, but we can certainly give you that. But the premise of all those materials is just that. Like, raising your rates is not something you should be timid about or apologize about. And yes, there are probably going to be one or two people that are not eager to pay your new rate, but those are people who were probably just looking for an excuse to not train anyway. And that's okay, because you'll get a surge of new business that comes with this new space, people being excited about this kind of new and improved venue. So, you know, there are a lot of things that you can tie to this new location. It's not just raising your rates, but now you've got a great excuse to run referral campaigns and send out press releases and a variety of things to get people excited about it, because you can have a bring a friend day and tell your athletes to bring a friend to check out the new facility. You can go to the local chamber of commerce and talk to them about potentially doing a ribbon cutting at your new location. You can send out a press release announcing it to the local media. So there are a lot of things that you can do to create more excitement and awareness about what you're doing, the changes, and, you know, all the exciting stuff that's happening in the business.
Man, you are the man.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm excited for you, and I'm excited. I already know enough about your business to know that you're doing some big things. You're getting a lot of great results for the athletes you're working with, and you're already at a solid point with a healthy business. So now the idea is just to continue to kind of fine tune things, document some of what's going well, because as your business grows, there's only so much of it you can do, but you don't have to go and create this system that isn't something you're already doing. The only reason you need help is because what you're doing is working so well, there's not enough of you to go around. So you just document what you're doing. And you do that and you'll be in great shape.
Oh, so you can't see me right now, Pat, but I am blushing.
Well,
no, man, this is so helpful. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I'm sitting here and I took notes after notes watching all your videos, your Ideal Business Academy, everything, but just what you're saying right now, it just kind of like makes everything makes more sense. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think for you, and I'm sure for anybody listening in, one of the big challenges is being a business owner is overcomplicating things that really aren't that complicated. I mean, marketing shouldn't be a whole lot more complicated than, you know what? I'm doing something that's really helping these athletes or these clients reach their goals. I'm doing some great work. So each day I'm going to try to go connect with one more person that I think I can potentially help and try to introduce them to what I have to offer. That's all marketing is. It's not pixels and split testing six different variations of Facebook ads. All those are doing, those are just a tool to help introduce you to somebody new. And we get so caught up in the complexity of the tools that we lose sight of the fact that, man, if I can walk across the street and introduce myself to somebody who'd be a good fit, maybe that's even easier. So keep doing more of what you're already doing, but then occasionally, you know, you're going to find that, you know what, hey, I met six different people this week or six different athletes and, you know, I thought they'd be a good fit for what I have to do, but I've only had three of them come in. Well, where did the other three fall off? You know, did I not follow up with them? Did we not schedule a time? Did they not reply to an email or a text? So then you're just trying to find a way to eliminate those drop-offs and just kind of move people through that process so that the folks who are a great fit for your business have a chance to experience it firsthand and know why you're the best solution for them.
Gotcha. No, thank you.
Awesome. Well, like I said, man, I mean, you're doing great work out there. I'm excited that we got a chance to spend a little bit of time on the call today, talking through some of this. And, you know, I am certainly excited for everything that's going on and excited for the opportunity to help you. And hopefully for everybody else listening in today to this episode of the Ideal Business Show, some good stuff there. So, you know, again, let me thank you for coming on and thank all those listening in to this episode for allowing us to have their time and attention for a little bit to help all of us build our ideal business. So thanks a bunch and we're signing off.
Thanks again for checking out another episode of the Ideal Business Show. Let me tell you about four different ways that I can help you build your own ideal business, and you'll be able to find more information about all of these in the show notes. First, you can complete the Ideal Business Scorecard. There's a proven framework for creating your ideal business, and you can find out how you score across all eight ideal business rules by simply filling out a quick quiz. Second, you can join our Business Growth Accelerator program and become a case study. Each month, we take on a couple new clients as case studies in our BGA program where we guarantee you a $4,000 a month increase in recurring revenue. If you'd like to work with me, Justin Yule, Fred Zoller, and build your clientele and recurring revenue, check out the link in the show notes. Third, you can become part of our exclusive Ideal Business Academy coaching group. My favorite thing to do professionally is to help entrepreneurs like you build your own ideal business. If you'd like to learn more about how we can work together to make that happen, go to the show notes and click the link, Ideal Business Academy. And then finally, fourth, you can join our Fitness Lead Academy. If you feel like you need more leads for your business, but you don't want to pay for an agency to run your ads, just click on the Fitness Lead Academy link and learn more. We'll be opening territories again soon, and those who fill in the form will be at the front of the line to secure their own location.